Love that song. Thank you, Alan and Marianne. Let's give them another little love, a little more love. My talk title is Free at Last, or Got Freedom, or Where Is It? But happy 4th of July yesterday. And one of my other favorite teachers besides Ernest Holmes, the founder of Science of Mind, is Joel Goldsmith. And Joel Goldsmith was an amazing visionary and mystic. And he wrote many, many books, mostly known for The Infinite Way. And he wrote a book called The Foundation of Mysticism. And I just recently taught a class on that. And at the back of the book, he talks about different holidays and the metaphysical interpretation of holidays. And he had one for the 4th of July. So I'm going to start with that because it's pretty interesting. Joel Goldsmith said, "The 4th of July is a day in which freedom is proclaimed. Every day of the week is a 4th of July, really, because the greatest thing we have gained from our studies is freedom, spiritual freedom. As spiritual students, we learn to obey the law, with a big L, and when we do, we stay free. We are free from fear. We are free from the experience of lack. We are free from economic worries. We are free from mental upset. And we are even free from contagion," he says. "Our entire work is attaining freedom. The whole mission of the Christ is to set us free. Every day can be a 4th of July in which we rejoice in our freedom. Remember how it is attained and how we can support others. The greatest freedom," he says, "that comes to spiritual students is that they know they aren't going to hell." Did you know that? Did you know you're not going to hell? Oh. Well, I learned I was, but spiritual students, which you are, realize that the only hell they can ever know is the one they create. And they can just as well have it here as in the hereafter. And they can just as well get free of it here as in the hereafter. Why? Because it's a state of consciousness. Heaven and hell are states of consciousness. They're not someplace we go to when we die. So he says, as spiritual ones, our entire work is bringing freedom to those who come to a message like this. The only thing anyone has to be thankful for is freedom. Nothing else is worthwhile without freedom. With freedom, everything else is added. Therefore, freedom is really the whole of a spiritual activity. And it leads to gratitude, love, and much joy. Thank you, Joel Goldsmith. Free at last. This month in the Centers for Spiritual Living, which is our big organization that we are a part of, they are inviting us to think about freedom on every level: spiritual, mental, emotional, and even physical freedom. And our founder of Science of Mind, Dr. Ernest Holmes, said the divine plan is one of freedom. The inherent nature of us is ever seeking to express itself in terms of freedom, because freedom is the birthright of every living soul. It is. And in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he said all things are possible, but not all things are beneficial. This is a reminder that, yes, I am free to think and speak in any way I like. However, just because something's possible doesn't mean it's a good choice for building a life of meaning, integrity, worth, and connection. Simply because it's possible, I'm free to cheat, gossip, be rude, be sarcastic, be mean-spirited. But it doesn't mean behaving in that way is going to get me to where I want to go or make the kind of contribution that I want to make in this world, my legacy. So ask yourself, what would an irresponsible use of my freedom look like? And the flip of that, what would be a responsible way to use my freedom? What would that look like? What would that feel like? Rex and I just got back from an 11-day road trip to southern Utah. How many of you have ever been to Utah? Yeah. Well, you know. You know what it's like. And we had planned this trip a long time ago, and with the COVID-19 and everything coming up, we were kind of discouraged to go, but there was something in us that just kept saying, just go, you're okay, just go. And so we honored that voice, and we went ahead and took this road trip all the way across Nevada, the loneliest highway in America, Highway 50, we've all been there, oh my gosh. And Utah, there's nothing like it. That state is so magnificent. And when we got there and just experienced the expanse of it, the monolithic rock formations, the desert, the sky, the canyons that were formed by thousands of years ago oceans, and just this huge nature that was so quiet and so still. When we went out to lookouts, there was nobody else there. It was so quiet. It was like being in a sacred, holy place, which Mother Nature is. And I felt no sense of restriction. I felt no fear. I didn't have my grip. I was able to let go and feel that freedom that nature offers us. Oh, it was so, so magnificent. And I realized, too, that being in nature like that, that I am just this tiny little speck of what's really out there, that the biomass of our planet is so much more than we, my little complaining self. And so when I can open to that expansion in nature, I feel my heart open, I feel my spirit come alive. Yeah, it was healing. It was very healing for us. And we have such great nature here, and I'm sure wherever you are in the world, take time out every day and connect with nature. So I have a question. Do you believe freedom is our birthright? I see heads nodding. So how have you been doing the last 4 months? Been feeling free? Or been feeling in bondage? You know, how are we making the best of a situation? Mary Morrissey, one of my teachers and mentors, has this great phrase I use all the time with my coaching clients. Do what you can from where you are with what you have. Do what you can from where you are with what you have. It's been very helpful for me in so many ways for so many different things. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. That echoes, doesn't it? When Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King ended his famous speech saying that, it was not only a call to action, but a call to understand the full impact of being free. What does it mean to be free? Think about it. Free from, as we did in the meditation, free from worries, doubt, debt, whatever it is, or free to do something. And what does that level of freedom feel like in your own beingness? Are you closed-fisted? I really like that image. When I breathe, I can, and then I can let it go. Let go and let God. Where's my book? Here it is. Our founder, Ernest Holmes, has his definition of freedom from the back of the textbook. I'd like to read that. He says, real freedom means that we are created in the image of perfection and let alone and allowed to make the discovery for ourselves. Freedom of will means the ability to do, say, and think as one wishes, to express life as one personally desires. But freedom does mean liberty, but not license. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, Jesus taught. And the understanding of truth, with a big capital T, infinite principle, is the emancipator. I'm going to say that again. The understanding of truth, infinite principle, is the emancipator. We are bound, he says, by our very freedom. Our free will binds us. The universe cannot refuse us anything, which is the law. The very force that makes us sick can heal us. And as we realize our oneness with creative mind, we are released from the bondage of false thinking. Yes, freedom. And the essence of science of mind that we study here is responsibility and action. When we know the divine truth that we are all one, we are all part of the same God power, the same infinite intelligence, we understand that if that is true, then we all have the same potential freedom and responsibilities. And since we are all connected, we remember that we are spiritual beings, having our unique personal human journey together. We're on a common journey, a journey that takes place both in our consciousness and in our physical world. And we can really see this in current time, can't we? How everyone is connected. Everyone in the world is on the same journey called the pandemic. Everyone. There's no one on this planet that's not experienced it in some form or manner. It's like a labyrinth. And we're also in this country, particularly experiencing together the acute awareness of social injustices that are coming up to be healed once and for all. And Dr. King also understood this idea of responsibility and action. And accepting responsibility doesn't mean assigning blame. It means we understand again that our divinity gives us the ability to know the highest good for ourselves and for everyone. At all times, no matter what. We may not like what another person or people are doing. We may not agree, but instead of condemning, which closes our heart, we look for the opportunity to do and feel and speak up something better, create something better. Reverend Michael Beckwith says, the universe is progressive. We're not just fighting against something. We're moving towards a vision. We embrace the protest and the passion to push that needle forward. And that passion met with vision, strategy, and implementation in the consciousness of divine love for each other is what's needed to build a kind and just global society. Yeah, I agree with that. And it's interesting because our CSL, our Centers for Spiritual Living motto, has been a world that works for everyone. We've said that for many, many years. A world that works for everyone now. Just imagine that. Just close your eyes and imagine that. Imagine a world that works for everyone, everyone. There's enough food for everyone. There's housing. There's peace. There's mental health. There's freedom. There is justice. There is love. Whatever it is, we have to hold that high vision. Have our faith. Create a mental equivalent, we call it. You have to feel that it's right there. That solution is already here in the mind of God. We need to call it forth. We don't have to know how to make it happen. We need to make it welcome. Let's make it welcome today. Because I know that the freedom that we have, the privileges that we have, each of us, are are available, should be available to everyone, regardless of race, creed, color, economic status, ethnicity, or sexual orientation. We are all one family. We are one family. Yes, feel that in your heart, please. Take a breath. Wasn't that a song? We are family. Thomas, brothers and sisters, and me. We are family. We are. And it's so obvious. And when we actually get that, we're going to create change for the better. We can't separate ourselves from others without losing our essence. We can't. We just can't do it anymore. And I also want to say, we just can't read about spirituality and, you know, yeah, and faith and all of that. Because it's kind of like if we just read about it and dream about it, it's like sitting at the piano. If I just had a manual and I read about how to play the piano and then I sit over there and try to give you a recital, it's not going to happen. And in my other life, I was a professional dancer and choreographer. And I have to say, if I would have just read the steps and the, you know, okay, we're going to do this and that, okay, fine, and then got on stage and tried to perform, mm-mm. You have to practice. You have to practice. You have to practice. And we have our spiritual tool belts. Whatever faith tradition you're from, you have something that will connect you back to your source, your essence. And from that place, you will take the action that is needed. I have no doubt about that. Rosa Parks once said, "I would like to be remembered as a person who wanted to be free, so other people would also be free." And what a strong, courageous woman she was. I'd like a little bit of that courage. I would. We're going to go on an inner scavenger hunt. Have you ever gone on a scavenger hunt? Yeah? Yeah. They're kind of fun. And a scavenger hunt, if you've never been on one, if you don't live on planet Earth, I will tell you, you're usually given a list of things, objects. Maybe you go out in nature and you have to pick up a things, and then you gather them all and you bring them back to the home base, and whoever got there first and got all their things got checked off and you got a prize. Or sometimes it's, I don't know, there's many different scavenger hunts. So we're going to do an inner scavenger hunt. Are you willing? Good. And we're going to journey to the center of our spirit, and by the time this scavenger hunt is over, I think you'll learn a lot about yourself. And I hope to bring you a little joy to your heart and soul. So I invite you to close your eyes. Be open for anything. We're going on a scavenger hunt. Take a breath. And I want you to clear the screen of your mind. And I'm going to ask you we're going to find five things only today in the scavenger hunt. And when I say it and you find it in your mind, I want you just to, those of you that are here today, just raise your hand when you found it and just keep your eyes closed, just so I have an idea to go on. And if you don't find anything, don't worry about it. So we're going to be going back into your memory bank recently and maybe a little bit, a couple days ago, for these treasures that you're going to find on your scavenger hunt. Here we go. Take a breath with me. Yeah, number one, first, think about a time recently when you did an anonymous kindness for a stranger. Keep your eyes closed, and when you have it, just raise your hand and keep your hands up. A time recently when you did an anonymous kindness for a stranger. Okay, good. Second, recall when and to whom you have said thank you to today. Recall when and whom you have said thank you to today. Good. Third, When was the last time you picked up a piece of trash or tidied a public place without being asked? Good. Fourth, recall a recent experience of forgiveness, either for yourself or for another. Keep your eyes closed. Stay within. Good. And fifth, recall when the last time you smiled and felt happy or in awe of something you witnessed or saw. Recall the last time you smiled or felt happy or in awe of something you witnessed or saw. Good. Great. Okay, good job. Open your eyes, everybody. How'd you do? You went on a little journey. And if you couldn't find any examples, that's okay. Because I'm going to give you an assignment, should you choose to accept it, that this week you're going to practice these five things. Be kind. Say thank you. Pick up. Forgive. And smile. I'll say them again. Be kind, say thank you, pick up, forgive, and smile. And you know we have masks on now, or face coverings now is the new word. I know you're smiling because we can see it in our eyes. So when you practice these things, it will light up your world. It will open your spirit, and it will set you free. Yay! So what else can you do to elevate your spiritual journey? I'm sure you have something. And as we know in Science of Mind, that we can only attract to us what we mentally feel and become. So when we're doing those things, it will be attracted back to us. Again, that's a mental equivalent. And we must become free in ourselves before we can truly allow freedom to ring. We can't give to others what we don't have. I know you've heard that before. And our divinity and connection to God is shared by everyone in the world. Everyone deserves freedom. Everyone deserves love. Everyone deserves peace of mind. President John F. Kennedy said, "The great revolution in the history of man, past, present, and future, is the revolution of those determined to be free." And again, Reverend Michael Beckwith says, "In times such as these, you want to be prayed up." You want to be prayed up, right? That means you want to have such a spiritual practice that when changes occur, when new paradigms begin to expand your awareness and all hell or heaven begins to break loose, you will be filled to overflowing with the presence of God, knowing that everything will be okay. That's our faith. And so I invite you to the rest of this month, the July month of freedom, to find the courage, to find the blessing in all situations, because it's there. And we don't need to know what the future holds. We only need to know who holds us. Who's holding you? Instead of, "Ain't it awful? Ain't it awful? Ain't it awesome? Ain't it awesome?" We are more unlimited than we think. Vision this future. Vision the future, that a world that works for everyone. Vision it right now, today, every day in your spiritual practices. Vision it, see it, feel it. It has to come. That's the law. We have to vision it, though. We have to feel it. So dare to expect a better outcome for yourself and for others. Dare to expect a better outcome. I dare you. Dare to vision freedom for everyone. I dare you. and dare to claim your faith in God, in the divine, in the infinite intelligence, whatever name you want to call it, dare to claim your faith. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I am, you are, we are, free at last, as we choose. Thank you.